Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 and 20, this particular passage foretells Christ coming as a lowly servant of God upon a donkey. And then that prophecy is further amplified by Zechariah, and we're going to look at that as we go on in the service. Title today is Christ our King is coming again. But over 2,000 years ago, he came and he offered himself as King of the Jews, but he was rejected by his own. Follow along as I read. I pick it up, chapter 3, verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgment. He has cast out thy enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. And thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. For the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. And he will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. And I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. And amen, amen. God has a promise to his people, the Jews. And I do believe that they needed this, because when he came to offer himself as King of the Jews, they rejected him. Let us pray. Father, as we come to this passage on this Palm Sunday, oh, give us insight and understanding of what Palm Sunday is truly all about. So I ask that you hide me behind the cross, give me clarity of thought and mind, and, oh God, by your Spirit, project the message to the hearts of thy people. I thank you for your love. Help me with my infirmities again, I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yesterday, Prime Minister Boris Johnson had talks in Kyiv with the Ukraine's President, Volodymyr Zelensky. That trip was a show of solidarity, a show of courage for the Ukrainian people. I learned later on that the United Kingdom will send 120 armored vehicles to Ukraine, including their Starstreak anti-aircraft missiles and 800 anti-tank missiles, along with anti-ship missiles to support the Ukrainians in their defense. I was taken by what Prime Minister Boris Johnson said about the Ukrainians. I quote, Ukrainians have showed the courage of a lion, and you, Volodymyr, have given the roar of that lion. Unquote. And folks, I agree wholeheartedly, and I thank God for the leadership of both of these men. Well, we certainly have none of this sort right now in our country. But let me say this, the day is coming when the Lion of Judah, the true Lion, will roar and the whole world will submit to Jesus Christ, for he will come and he will reign, not as just King of the Jews, but King of all kings. He came humble as a servant of God upon a lowly donkey to present himself to his people. John chapter 1 verse 11 says he came unto his own, and his own what? Received him not. They rejected him. And as I read Zephaniah, I thought about how gracious and compassionate our Father is. That tucked away in this little passage of scripture, in this little book of Zephaniah, is a promise that although you forsook me, the day will come that I will be your deliverer. God is not done with the Jewish people. The time of the Gentiles is coming to a very, very rapid close. I've said it for a number of days now, there's only two things standing in the way of Lucifer, the Antichrist to come, and that is the United States of America and the Church of Jesus Christ. And he's undermining both. I think yesterday was a historic event that we had to see another world leader stand in the place where the United States should have led. Today is Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday marks that day that Jesus made what we call in Bible theology the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And it was there that he offered himself as King of the Jews. But don't be confused, as he offered himself to the King of the Jews, we know that he's King of all kings. But he was born in the lineage and the line of David. And he offered himself first King of the Jews, and then the world, if they had accepted him, would have accepted him. But now we've waited over 2,000 years. And I do believe we're approaching the time when he will come. And this time he's not going to be riding upon no lowly donkey. When a king or an emperor conquered, he always came riding upon a white stallion or a white horse, indicating his power and victory. If you read the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that he's going to come riding upon a white horse with all of his saints riding with him. And we're going to touch upon that in a little bit. When Jesus made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, people had seen the miracles of Christ, and there were many. They began stripping palm branches from off the trees. Now, what we have here today are not actually the palm branches, but they're part of the palm leaves. The branches would have been much larger, and they could wave them like a flag. And they would take these branches, cut them down, and they laid them in the roadway. Whenever a king came, he was given a procession, a welcome as a victor. And often they would roll out what we call the red carpet. Well, there was no red carpet for Jesus. And so they laid out what they could, the palm branches. And the palm branches is a symbol, and it always has been, of victory. In fact, if you study ancient Olympic games, the winner of the Olympic race would carry a large palm branch in one's hand. And as he ran the victory, he would wave the palm branch. Kind of do a little bit of that today. in our Olympics. Jesus descended, the Bible tells us, from the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem. And that's very, very significant, and I want you to remember that. And he offered himself as a king of Israel, and he was rejected. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible declares that this same Jesus is coming, and he's going to come again to the Mount of Olives, and he's going to come down the Kidron Valley, and he's going to go through the eastern gate of Jerusalem, and this time, no one will stop him from being king. And we'll look at that. So this message this morning transcends Jesus being rejected as king on Palm Sunday to the day where Christ our King will be exalted and take his rightful throne in Jerusalem upon what we call the throne of David. The crowd followed him, and as they did, they yelled, "Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna to the Son of David!" Jesus was born in the line and the lineage of David, David the greatest king of the Jews. And they continued their audio support, crying out, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest," which means save us. And Jesus was there to save them, amen? He was there to save the whole world. But they missed it. And we'll show you a little bit of that as we move on. Many were there that had heard the Lord Jesus teach like no other. They seen him heal the sick, give sight to the blind, cause the lame to walk, and even raise the dead. He performed miracle after miracle after miracle. In fact, if you read the Synoptic Gospels, you find as you put them together that he cured entire towns and wiped out disease. And his fame went abroad. And throngs of people followed him. The Romans, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, they all became afraid of this Jesus. I think that it's interesting when we study about Palm Sunday to note that many in that very crowd praised Christ only because they thought he was going to release them from the tyranny and the control of the Roman Empire. They weren't looking to be delivered from sin. They were looking to be delivered from taxes. World hasn't changed much, has it? But we're looking to be delivered from taxes too. You know, and that's just like us as human beings. We think on the surface. But one day, money's not going to mean anything. Do you know that the most important thing 100 years from now is not going to be where you live, what house you have, how much money you have, what car you drove, what influence, the decision that you made about Jesus Christ, that would be the greatest thing in 100 years. Have you made the decision to accept he who offered himself first to the Jews? Because they were the people God chose to come. Because if God was to be a man, he had to be finite, he had to come to a particular people, and he chose the Jews. But he offered salvation to the world. For he became the propitiation for us, and not just for us, but for the sins of the whole world. That day, that Palm Sunday, was foretold. It was foretold 520 years before Christ ever was born. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and especially the scribes, those who transcribed the scriptures and studied the scriptures, and they were very meticulous about writing the scriptures, they should have known that he was coming as a meek and lowly Lamb of God, as it were. We read from the book of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Again, the same language that Zephaniah used. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, and he is just and having salvation or deliverance. But they missed this. They just stopped there. Oh, he's going to save us. Man, he's going to deliver us from these Romans. We're going to kick them out of our country. Now, I don't blame them for that because they were overtaxed and they were overruled. They were dictated to. But they missed the rest of the passage. He is coming lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And by the way, the Bible says in one of the Gospels accounts, never a man rode upon this foal. I dare any of you to do that. You know what would happen, right? You'd be kicked and bucked right off. But not the creator of the universe. This beast submitted as a docile beast under the weight of the Savior. Now we know, because we look back in history, that the Messiah, the long waited for Messiah, the Lord Jesus, was rejected and was not exalted as the King of the Jews. Instead of sitting upon the throne of David, he was nailed to a cruel cross. And this particular week, we will reflect on the passions of Christ, what he suffered to deliver us from being the pawns of Satan and cast into an eternal lake of fire. Now, you may be here this morning and you're thinking and scratching your head, why does this even matter to me about a man riding on a donkey and people waving some palm branches over 2,000 years ago? And that's a good question. The kingship of Christ did not come 2,000 years ago. He did offer himself. Many Bible scholars believe if the Jewish people had chose Christ, he would have set up his millennial kingdom. Would he have died? I guess so, because it was foretold. But we would not have this gap of 2,000 years, because he would have been received and Jesus would have immediately established his kingdom. But it is written by the prophet Zephaniah, and you read it with me, that Christ our Lord is coming again. He will deliver the Jewish people. When he comes, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to lead the captives of Jerusalem, his people. He's going to lead them out of captivity. See, why are they in captivity? Well, if you know the book of Revelation, the whole world, all the armies of the world, there will be a one world government. And guess who's going to head that up? Most evil person in all of history. You think Putin is a bad guy? He's an apprentice. He's nothing but a thug. This Antichrist is going to have every army of the whole world commerce on Jerusalem to destroy God's people and destroy that city. Again, it's the plan of Satan since the beginning of time. If he can destroy God's people, then the Bible prophecies cannot be fulfilled. Why do you think time after time again, God's people, the Jews, have been undermined and almost exterminated? Last year we talked about Esther a lot. Haman tried to destroy and rid the world of the Jewish people. That was Satan behind all of that. And he's been doing that all through the annals of history. If he can destroy what the Bible says, he believes he will have victory. Now, why he continues to do it is because he's evil. And this kind of evil can only be overcome by prayer. Folks, we need to get our hearts and our minds in perspective of the scriptures and what they promise. And not look every day out there of what the evil world is showing us. We need to see what God says. Amen. If you want to be delivered from the fear, if you want to be delivered from the anxiety, if you want to be delivered from the failure of the world, look to Jesus. Because there is a new world coming. Amen. A day when there will be no illness, there will be no disease, there will be no need for a doctor. And thank God there will be no need for insurance. Because they're never available when you need them anyway. There's not going to be no more famines and earthquakes and poverty. No racial unrest. No hatred like we're seeing in the day which we live. Because Jesus Christ will come and he will rule with a rod of iron. And the Bible conveys the idea that it's actually the rod of righteousness and proper justice that we're not seeing anymore. People commit crimes and they're let go. They're actually today patted on the back. Well, you didn't mean it. Here, take this phone and let me give you some money and a ticket. How many of you, if you broke the law, you're going to be treated like that? Anybody here know that they'll be treated like that? And you're an American citizen. This is what's happening in the world. Evil is coming to the forefront and good is being suppressed. But there is a wonderful day that will become reality. It will be a time of peace. It will be a time of justice. It will be a time of joy. You read with me. And it begins where? Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Where is the King of Kings to rule from? The throne of David. That day will occur when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, return as it is written. And it will come to pass just as the prophecy of Zechariah said that he would come and ride upon a foal of an ass. That happened. They should have known that he was coming. It happened exactly as he said. And Zechariah 14:9 will also happen exactly as it says. Listen, it says this. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord. Because Satan thinks he's Lord, right? He wanted to be like the Most High God. And his name, one. It will be known as the Millennial Kingdom. The Millennial Kingdom is a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ ruling on the planet Earth. And it will be a physical, political kingdom governed by God's saints. Now, you probably wonder what you're going to do. I don't know. But if you're born again and you're a saint of God, you've been a member of the body of Christ, when you die, God is going to assign you to some position in his administration. I don't have time to go into all of that. But it will be an earthly political kingdom. And when he comes, he will first restore his people and the nation of Israel. He will restore the country. He will restore their worship. He will restore their holy city. And he will fulfill the covenant of David. And he will take his rightful throne. And let me say this. When he comes, the whole world's going to know it. How will they know that? Well, it isn't too hard today when something's happening across the globe. We have satellite TV. But I don't believe God needs satellite TV. He just is God. He can do anything. Many years before there was satellite television, I read this in Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. No one's going to miss that. He shall return, folks, with all the glory that belongs to the Son of God. Amen. The Lord Jesus will return, and his first task after the battle of Armageddon will be to separate the righteous from the wicked as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the nations of the earth will be gathered before him when he does this. And Mr. Putin, you're going to be there. And Mr. Putin, you're going to pay the price. You are not going to outwit Jesus the Christ. The Bible proclaims in Revelation 19, you look it up, Maybe go home and read a little bit of that. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it shall he smite those nations. Again, God says he allows all the armies of the world to converge on the nation Israel. They have no escape. There'll be no United States to deliver them. They will cry out for their Savior to come. And he will come. When he smites these nations, the Bible says he'll rule with a rod of iron. And that rod is a symbol, as I said a few minutes ago, of righteousness, of justice. Unwavering righteousness. Not the kind of righteousness and justice we're seeing today, where a criminal kills somebody, goes before a district attorney, gets a slap on the wrist, and goes. It will be the complete opposite. Righteousness will reign in all of the earth, and Christ will smite the nations into utter submission. When's this going to happen, Pastor? The glory of the Lord will return in the very person of Christ. Did you know that the Shekinah glory of God, it came to God's people during their wandering in the desert? You might recall that. You might recall that God sent his people a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, that they would know that he was ever present, that they had no reason to fear, for he was their God. And he smite the armies of the world in that day under the servant Moses. But the people of God, they went into horrible idolatry. They began to live and act and talk like the heathen, wicked pagans of their day. And they violated the Levitical laws and the ceremonial laws. And so God said, that's it. And when we read the account of Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, from chapter 9 to chapter 11, he tells of how the temple of God, that the glory of God, the Shekinah of the glory of God, went down the Kidron Valley and up the mountain of Olives and descended into heaven. And that day was known to the Hebrew people as the day of Ichabod. In fact, one of Eli's grandsons was named Ichabod because he was born on the day that the glory of Almighty God lifted up and left these people. So when he returns, he'll return the same way the Spirit of God and the Son of God left this earth. How did the Son of God leave? Keep your finger, we're going to go to Zechariah. So go to the book of Acts quickly with me, Acts chapter 1. When Jesus was crucified and died, he was buried for 3 days according to the scriptures. He paid for the sin of the whole world. No reason for anybody to die and to be abandoned into eternal bliss. I'm sorry, eternal fire. Those who are saved into eternal bliss. But there's no excuse for that because Christ died for the whole world, for the sins of the whole world. He was resurrected. Watch his ascension. Acts chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 8. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you know this is Jesus speaking. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Remember, he said, when I leave, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Do you know where he was standing? On the Mount of Olives. He's coming back the same way. So how do you know that? Well, just read the next verses. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, just as the Shekinah glory departed the temple, down the Kidron Valley, up the Mount of Olives, It says, these men appeared, they were angels. Two men stood by them in white apparel. It also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, he shall come in like manner as you have seen him go. How do we know that? All right, now I want you to go to Zechariah. Zechariah is an Old Testament book. If you go to Malachi, which is the last Old Testament minor prophet, go back just a page, and you'll be in Zechariah chapter 14. I want you to listen. For when he returns, he will return to the Mount of Olives. Now listen carefully. In Zechariah chapter 14, everybody with me? I heard a little. Okay, chapter 14, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 4. And his feet, speaking of the Lord, shall stand in that day upon what? The Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives, now picture this in your mind, when Jesus sits down on the Mount of Olives, where the angel said he's coming right back where he left. In that day, there's going to be a great earthquake. Revelation talks about this. And the Mount of Olives is going to split four directions. And it says, it'll split in four directions, the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Obviously, if it splits, if a mountain, let's say Wingdale Mountain split, what would happen? There'd be a valley. Well, why do we need a valley? Because he comes to deliver his people. Because Israel has a remnant left. And if they're not delivered, there will be no Israel left. Maybe what we do is we jump over to chapter 14, the beginning, very quickly. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken. In other words, these armies that surround the city, these armies of all the nations, this multinational army will surround Jerusalem, and they will take the city, and the houses, people's houses, what we're seeing in the Ukraine will be nothing compared to this. The Bible says, and the houses will be rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. Think about that. And the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And then shall the Lord go forth, and he shall fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Do you know what that is, where he's fighting there against all these nations? Do you know what we call that? The Battle of Armageddon. And it is fought in the Valley of Megiddo. When all of these armies come, God's going to say, okay, you think you could take me on? He splits it. And just as he splits it, guess what? All of the captives are able to flee into that valley. It won't be the United States. It won't be missiles. It won't be bombs. It'll be Jesus. And the Bible says that he shall deliver them as he did in the days of Uzziah the king. Verse 5, and you shall flee to the valley. For the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come. And what's the rest of that say? And all the saints with him. Are you going to be there? If you're born again, you're a saint of God. Don't get that mixed up with Catholicism. A saint is one who's born again. Saint just means holy one, set apart to God. When you got saved, you got set apart for God. You belong to God. And he's bringing his church back. The church will be the administrators of this millennial kingdom. He returns in all of his glory. He fulfills his promise and he delivers his people in the battle of Armageddon. And he doesn't need bombs. He doesn't need missiles. He doesn't need any weapons at all. And he will destroy the armies of the world by simply speaking the sword of judgment. The Lord Jesus will smite the nations and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. Folks, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, and Jesus all prophesied that this day is coming. And I might add, it is amplified in the book of Revelation. Zechariah seems to indicate that at least three changes will take place when the Messiah returns to the earth at his second coming. As we already said, the Mount of Olives will split, and it will open from the east to the west and the north and the south, and second, living waters will flow both from the Mediterranean and the Dead Seas. He's going to change the geography. And that means that Israel shall be lifted up as a mountain for the water to flow. It will become the eternal city. And Ezekiel talks about that. And the last thing I want to say before I close is he comes in all his glory. He comes to restore Israel. He comes to restore their temple worship. And he will be in the temple. Do you know that Paul said that Satan, the Antichrist, is going to mock Jesus and he's going to go into the temple, the third temple the Jews are in the process of building now. They have everything they need, the cornerstone. They have all of the artifacts. The only thing they don't have is permission. But they're fighting every year to get it. But they will build that third temple. But the Antichrist will defile it. He will say, I am the Christ. I am ruling. And he will deceive the nations. But Jesus will come and he will bring his church. Those that have been saved for over 2,000 years will be the administrators in this kingdom. And the church will accomplish him. And people like you and me will be standing side by side with these heavenly, immense, powerful creatures known as seraphims and seraphims of all different sorts. And we will be made leaders and administrators in this dispensation. You say, where will I be, Pastor? I don't know. How well are you serving him now? If you read over the parables of Jesus, he told about where you will be through those parables. If he's given you a talent here, what have you done with it? If you haven't done anything with it, well, you'll be saved and you'll have something to do, but maybe you're going to sweep the floor of a church. I'd rather do that, as the psalmist said, right, David, that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to kind of party with the wicked. Jesus came at first as a passive lamb, and this week we observe that. We look at that. We honor that. For without that, we'd not be saved. What compelled him to fulfill this mission? I believe it was the comfort and the truth that he would redeem a lost humanity. How do you know that, Pastor? If you look at the book of Hebrews, there's a little verse tucked away in the book of Hebrews that says that Christ the Messiah counted it joy to go to the cross. Thursday night, I'm going to talk about that. And when I get done, you're going to say, I would not count that joy to be crucified like that and left to die in a horrible way. But Jesus said he counted it joy. Why? He saw you. He saw me. He saw the masses delivered from his arch enemy, Lucifer, the one who is usurping all power right now and bringing evil beyond our imagination to this earth. But I want to encourage you, it's not going to stand. He will come and he will deliver his people and the world. And he could, our Savior, proceed with confidence because the scriptures will be fulfilled. The scriptures assured him that the day would come that he will return as the lion. And when I heard Boris Johnson say about Volodymyr Zelensky, that the people had the courage of a lion and he had the roar of a lion. I thought, no one has a roar like the Lion of Judah. He won't need missiles from NATO. He won't need anything. We will be privileged to be with him. And by the way, if you read Revelation, when we come back, we're not carrying guns and bombs and grenade launchers. We're just coming with him. We're not coming as soldiers. We're coming as administrators. The Bible tells us that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, on that Palm Sunday was despised and rejected by mankind. That was prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 53. But Jesus was not just a victim. He also was our advocate, fulfilling the will of the Father to deliver you and me from eternal hell. By giving his life, I'm going to be done, just hang in for just 1 minute. By giving his life, Jesus opened a new and living way for us to enter into relationship with Almighty God. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He did for us what we could never, ever, ever do for ourselves, offering us the gift of salvation when we repent. Key word, you just can't pray a magical prayer, oh God, I love you, thank you for saving me. What about telling him you're sorry for your sin and the desire of your heart is to sin no more? And to mean it. Now, will you sin? Yeah, we're all sinners. But we won't be living a lifestyle of it when the Spirit of God comes in you. You have to trust me on that in the Word of God. He offers a free gift of salvation when we repent and put our faith in him. I want to have everybody please bow your heads, maybe close your eyes. And if you're a Christian and you're here today, you don't need to be saved, but maybe you could pray for somebody that might be here that needs to be saved. I'm here to tell you again that God loves you, and he loves you with an undying love. He's done all that he can. There's nothing more he can do but to offer you eternal life. But it only comes through Jesus, his son. And you might be thinking, well, I'll come my own way. There is no other way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, Jesus said, that leadeth unto life. You mean eternal life. But few there be to find it. Why? We want to tell God how we're coming to heaven. We want to tell God that we'll put money in the church. We want to tell God we'll live a good life. And God said, you can't do any of that that's going to please me, because we're all sinners. If you're here today and you've never trusted in the God who loves you, trust in his son who died for you. God raised him from the dead, and he forever sits at the right hand of the Father. Lord, on this Palm Sunday, may we, as Christians, rededicate our lives. And if there's any here that is not sure of their salvation, may they get it right today. Save that soul nearest hell, I pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to take our songbook as we close the service. 297. And we'll stand as we sing. And we'll just do the one verse. Heaven's going to come down one day with the angels of God and the saints of God. And those that are here, their souls will be glorified. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.